Good morning. Yeah, thank you, Donna, for always setting a good tone for us for worship as we gather today. Hey, look at somebody around you. Give them a wave. Give them a smile that says, hey, I really am glad to see you today. And the Lord, the Lord's got some good things in store because God is good. And all the time, He really, really is good. Listen, if you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. Always know that you're not alone out there as well. There's a voice listening for you and responding to you today, even as we go through our time of worship. We appreciate Dr. John and all his contributions to the church. Love him to death. And we are so glad that everybody has chosen to be in the house of the Lord today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And let's call upon him right now as we begin today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Lord, I've thought, particularly through this past week, how so often we take for granted the opportunities that we have to come together in freedom. Lord, we're grateful for the country that we live in, where we can make these meetings and we can gather and we can worship you without fear of being arrested or taken to jail. And Lord, those are things that also came with a cost. We appreciate those who have secured and protect our freedoms. We ask you that you would watch over them today, Lord, in this land and in foreign lands all over the place. And then, Lord, we think about those that protect us while we're here. We pray that you would watch over and be with them as well as we gather in peace and as we gather in comfort and as we gather in the Spirit today. We pray that the Holy Spirit would truly speak to our hearts. Lord, we're grateful for the fact that your word tells us that you truly do speak to your children. So you have a message for us today because your word does not return void. I pray, Father, that you would help us give ear to the Spirit today. Lord, we know there are a lot of things that are on the agenda, a lot of plans that we have for today, but for these few moments, I pray that you would truly help us to focus upon you, that we might hear from your Holy Spirit today, and Lord, we might apply what we've learned to our lives, not just in the present, but each and every day as we go forward. So Father, bless our time together. Lord, help us as we lift up our voices to you in song and in prayer and through your word to truly worship and magnify you today in a way that maybe it's been a long time since we've done. Maybe we've never done it that way before. But Lord, may every ounce of our time today be because of you, and may we attentively listen to what your Spirit tells us as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You stand as we sing.
Thank you. choir, please turn with me to 447, Trust and Obey.
Gospel chapter 10. So if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 10 with me this morning. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about, you know, how things have been. A lot of times what we do is we will look back, we will reminisce over certain things. But one of the things that I was thinking about, and particularly from a ministry or a church perspective, has been the things that have changed over the last 30 plus years. We have watched different things take place. We have watched the mega church rise. We have watched multi-campus things begin to take shape and take place. But I want to say this morning that I believe with all of my heart that there is value to what is called the neighborhood church. And I believe that there is a resurgence to that. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at some passages out of Luke's Gospel chapter 10. I want you to hold it there, and I want you to realize I haven't forgotten that scripture. I want to get to that, but I want to give you some context to it as we lead into it. So if you think, well, he forgot the scripture. No, I didn't. I will get there in short manner, but I want to lay some things out for us before as we begin to go ahead. I believe with all of my heart that the neighborhood church is about to make a surprising return. Now, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about when I talk about the neighborhood church? A lot of you probably grew up in one. You know, it was a church, or there were churches within your neighborhood, and that was where you went. And then you saw things begin to change over time, where it became the commuter church, where people would, all of a sudden, we're going to drive to this church, and we're going to go to this particular place because this particular thing is going on. And you've seen the mega churches and everything. And a lot of people tend to look at the neighborhood church and say that the neighborhood church is a thing of the past. And I don't necessarily believe that. I believe with all of my heart that there is a resurgence of the neighborhood church. Now, I'm saying all this for a particular reason, so bear with me. I did look at a study that was done by Baylor University in 2017 that showed that 68% of church attendees live within 15 minutes of the church that they attend, and 21% live 5 minutes or less from their place of worship. Only 9% live more than half an hour from their church, and the setting of the church, whether it's urban, suburban, or rural, has no bearing on people's willingness to commute. So I think that was a 2017 study. I think that became even more prominent and more prevalent when we went through the pandemic. Because now all of a sudden people aren't, you know, they're not pushing out as far as they used to. They've begun to reconnect with their neighborhood. They've begun to reconnect with their community. Now, most neighborhood churches have to do something in order to become a vital presence within their community. Now, you're ready for what that is. You're not going to like it. Most neighborhood churches have to change in order to become a vital presence in their community. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the community changes. Now, let me make something very, very clear. The gospel never changes. The community around you changes. The landscape has changed. I love what I've even observed as I've spent my time, you know, here in Oak Ridge. And, you know, people have asked me before about Oak Ridge, and I think that from what I can understand from even before my time, I said Oak Ridge was one of those places that, if you're an Andy Griffith fan, it was like old man Kelsey's pond. You know, it was country, you had farmers out here, and that was the landscape of Oak Ridge. And I always say it like this. I said, one day you went to sleep and it was old man Kelsey's pond, and the next morning you woke up and it was Lake Tahoe. A lot of things have changed in this community over the past several decades. Amen? A lot of things have changed here. Now, that doesn't mean that the gospel ever changes, but there are going to have to be things that we're going to have to do to be able to communicate the gospel message to those that are in our community. And I believe that is very vital. I believe it is very important. Every local church has a clear assignment given directly by God. The address right here is our assignment. The location of our church is God's strategy to reach and to serve this community. Now, notice I didn't say a program, and I want to tell you why. Because a program might work here and might not work 5 miles down the road. But a strategy will work wherever you go. God never gave us programs. He gave us strategies, didn't he? And a strategy is something that will work anywhere because it's coming from him to start with. Now, one of the things I said as we headed into this new year, as we begin to grasp what our vision is as we go forward, it is simply the fact that one of the things we're going to have to do to make this happen at 1715 Highway 68 is we're going to have to connect. Remember, we talked about connections in different ways. We're going to have to connect to God better. And you know what? I'm so proud to say that's some things that's happening. The ladies are going to be having a breakfast here before long, and they're going to spend some time praying for their community, praying for their church, praying for their leadership. That's where it all begins. We all have to connect better with God as we go forward in the future. And to do that, we're also going to have to connect with each other. Now, that's easy, but I want to caution you about something.
Yet we're going to connect with each other. We're going to connect with service. But the problem with that we have got to keep our eye on is that we don't become inwardly focused. When you become inwardly focused, it's like a club. It's like exclusive. And yet when we get to the scripture that I'm going to go over in just a few minutes, you're going to find that that is not the case. But God has placed us here for a reason. He placed us here, and he used those who had the prayer meeting above the garage apartment to bring to fruition Central Baptist Church in this location. And it is no accident that we are where we are. And God intends for us to be instruments in his hand to reach this local community. And the landscape of the community has changed. Where are my old timers? How many of y'all been here a long time? How many of you all will say, amen, things have changed? They've changed. Well, in keeping with that, we are going to have to make some changes to be able to reach people. Now, again, I want to reiterate that does not mean changing the gospel, because the gospel never changes. I can remember, and as I think about a church that meant so much to me, a church that was essentially my first place of service, the church where I was ordained, the church where I was mentored by some really old guys that I love, yet both of them that I think of in my mind are with the Lord today. And they were mentors to me when I didn't know how to do anything. They believed in me and they took time with me. Have you noticed how time is so precious today? Time is more valuable than money. Because it costs you something when it comes down to time. These were men that poured into me and invested in me to be here with you today doing what I do today. So this church was a very, very special place to me. Now, I had the privilege to serve on a team with our local association to the point where when we went to this church was having issues. The church had dwindled down. There were not that many people that were left in the church. And when I walked into that particular church with that meeting, there were a lot of old faces that I knew, people that I knew, people that's names are on my ordination certificate, people that I love and people that love me back. And still to this day, they think a lot of me and I think a lot of them. And they saw the changing dynamic. They saw the changing demography around them. And the plain, simple bottom line was they were not reaching their community. It was interesting enough that most of us over time have had the church directories and photo albums. And they're kind of cool to go through. You look back when people, you know, still had color in their hair. Some of them still had hair. Yeah. You said, who's this? Oh, that's so-and-so. And you're like, whoa, lots of changes. We've all changed, haven't we? But they were sitting there at this particular meeting, and they were looking at the pictorial directories. Remember those? And there were a lot of pictures of the church in its heyday, when things were going, when things were moving, and when they were progressing forward, and you were seeing people come to know the Lord, and you were seeing people who were being baptized. You saw people actively plugged in, actively involved in serving. And I still remember what one of the guys that I love very, very dearly said. He sat there and he pointed to those and he said, we want to be like that again. Now, a lot of you are familiar with when I'm saying this, exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are there. They're like, we want to be there again. And I will never forget what I said. I said, if you want to be like this again, then you can't be like you are now. We don't like that, do we? If you want to be like that again, if you want to go back to that time of the heyday, then you can't be like you are now. Now, most of us buy into the fact that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, right? You know why people and churches moved out of the heyday to where they are today? Because they failed to adjust to the landscape that was around them. You know, as I sit back and I think about the church where Pastor David's from, he was there in their heyday. At one time, a church that was the fastest growing church in the state of North Carolina. over 1,000 people in Sunday school, and he was there the last day that they had church because they failed to adjust to the changing dynamic of the area. If we want to be like we were at one time, then we can't be like we are now. So I want to give you a couple of things. Now, again, this is context to the scripture that I want to get to. There are three greats. That's what I titled today's message, three greats that we need to consider. Because I always want you to know something, that whatever comes from this pulpit needs to come from this Bible. Whatever direction that we go needs to come from what God's word is. So the best place to figure out what direction you go is to go to the map, God's word. Let me give you, in summary, three greats that we find in God's word. And I'm going to give them to you quickly, so you don't have to fear. I'm going to give them to you quickly. The first great that we read about in the Gospels is the great confession. Now, you know that what happens in the Gospels, there are times that you will get the same story that is repeated from a different perspective of one of the different writers. So the great confession is actually found in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 and then also in Mark chapter 8. Now, I'm not going to go to those scriptures for you. I'm just going to try to lay it out in what I call Roy speak, so you'll understand what I'm talking about. But that's the great confession that we read about in his word. Now, that's where Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. That is the great confession, okay? The second great is the great commandment. That is found in Matthew's Gospel chapter 22 and in Luke's Gospel chapter 10. That is, that's basically that we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We know that, don't we? We've heard that for years and years and years. If you hadn't heard it from church, you've heard it from mama or grandma. Amen? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the great commandment. The third great is the great commission. Now, you've probably heard more about the great commission over time than any of those other two. But the great commission is found in Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. And that says that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. That is what we're supposed to do. So the great confession reveals the message. And what is the message? The message is Jesus saves. That's what the great confession reveals. How about the great commandment clarifies the posture? I love that word, the posture of this message. So what is the posture of this message supposed to be? Okay, the posture of this message is to be love, to love one another. Remember what it said, love God, love others? That is the posture. Now, I want to ask you a question just to pause for a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart for just a minute. I have to ask this question. Do we really love others in the same fashion that we need to love others? Do we love others today like, first of all, we should, or even like we used to yesterday? I've said this before. Since the pandemic, we've become some pretty nasty people on this planet. We are ill-mannered and short-tempered with each other, with people that we love, and particularly with people that we don't know. Are we truly loving one another in the manner in which we should? Hold that thought. Remember, I haven't forgotten the scripture. To love. And then there's the Great Commission. That demonstrates what the mission is. And the mission is making disciples. What does making disciples mean? It's more than simply evangelism and leading other people to Jesus. Yeah, I think that sometimes in our society and in church today, we do fairly well with the evangelism side of things on the corporate level or on the church level. But we don't always do so well with the discipleship aspect. Let me give you an example. Somebody has grown up in Sunday school or they've gone to Awana, and I always love to see this. I love to see folks that have poured their lives into maybe one of these little children over the years, and then all of a sudden there's a great day that happens when that child is grown in the Lord, and what happens is they accept him. And then I get the opportunity to pray with them. I always like it when I just get to pray with them and celebrate with them because their Sunday school teacher or their Awana leader or somebody else took that time and sat down and led them to Jesus right there. Folks, don't sit back and say, I'm going to drag you to the pastor to receive Jesus. No, you step up and you lead them to Jesus, and we'll celebrate together. And you guys do a good job at that. So then what happens is oftentimes they will make a public profession. I'm not going to call it the public profession, because the public profession of faith is baptism. And then what happens is they'll come up and we'll get a chance to pray with them, and we get to see them. One of the coolest things I've ever seen in churches, and I will tell you, I have never seen this in another church, that back in the day when the little kids would give their life to Jesus, we used to recognize those who taught them in Sunday school, those who taught them in Awana. We used to recognize those that were instruments in their life to help bring them to Jesus. And the coolest thing in the world was all their peers were sitting on that front pew right there cheering for them and celebrating as they obeyed our Lord through baptism. Those were great days. Those were great days. And many of us long and yearn to see them again. Folks, the word tells us we're to make disciples. Somebody who is growing in his grace. Somebody who is growing in his strength. Not just come in here, okay, my brother, I'm glad you're saved. We're going to put you through the baptism. We're going to slap you on the back, and we're going to throw you out to the world. Mm-mm. No, no, no. That's what we do. That's not what we're supposed to do. And by the way, the other thing that we have to do is you and I have to take advantages of discipleship opportunities. We do have them. Tonight is a discipleship opportunity. Pastor David will be right here teaching God's word to help you grow. It's not a monologue like the crazy preacher you get to see on Sunday. David teaches on Sunday night. Awana, our kids are learning the scriptures that they might hide them in their heart, that they might not sin against God, and that the Holy Spirit would bring them to life when they need them. We have small groups that meet together. We have Sunday school classes. All that's discipleship. But you got to take advantage of it. Stop being a Sunday Christian. Somebody looked at me the other day, and it was really interesting. They said, you're an old pastor. I didn't know whether to resent that or to thank them. But I understood what they were saying. Because they said, back, well, that stuff don't work. I said, I beg to differ with you. When you get smaller groups together, I don't care what you call it. I don't care if you call it Sunday school. I don't care if you call it discipleship. I don't care if you call it the Grape Ape Bunch. I don't care if you call it old men eating out on Wednesday. Sorry, guys. I don't care what you call it. There's value in those things. And that is where the ministry is going to get done. That is where leading people to Jesus is going to happen, because that's where relationships happen. They don't happen when you just blow in on church for an hour on Sunday and blow back out. You see, that's what really we long for. We long for things to be the way they used to be when we connected with each other. Again, I haven't forgotten the scripture. There's a context to it. So now that we see these things and we know what it is that the Lord's telling us, we need to understand something, that a stagnant or stationary church is a disobedient church. Plain and simple. There's an author by the name of Du Bois who noted that humanity is both the object and instrument of God's sending. God desires to have a personal relationship with humanity. That is the object. And this desire is communicated through people, the instruments. And that's done through relationships. Jesus clearly instructed us to love our neighbor. Did he not? He said, love your neighbor. Love is an active decision and not merely an emotion. Sometimes I would like to take emotion and be able to just rip that up and completely take it out of every bit of who we are, because too many relationships fall apart based on how people feel. I do that when I've had premarital counseling with somebody before. I said, you know what? If you can fall in love with an emotion, you can fall out of love with an emotion. But marriage is a commitment. Where are my married people out there? I ask you something. Has everything always been rosy? That's another message for another day. No, there have been some times when you've been like, and I've shared this with you before. I've shared this where I was doing counseling with a couple one time, and I still remember what one of them said. One of them said, you know what? Sometimes I hate him, but I always love him. That's deep. You get what I'm saying? You see, we're not committed to much of anything anymore. You don't think so? Hey, man, let's get together. Great, let's do it. You really want to freak them out? Say, get your calendar out. Let's pick a date. What? Whoa. What do you mean, pick a date now? Put it on. I don't know. I might have to get my dog flea dipped on that day. I might need to. We don't want to commit to anything. We want to leave our schedules open to do whatever it is that we want to. Folks, God calls us to a commitment, not a part-timer. If we do the actions of love, then the feeling of love will follow. We've got it turned around. When you love your husband, you love your wife, when you love your parents, you love your children, through right actions, then they feel loved. If we're struggling to love our neighbor, how do we deal with that? How do you deal with acts of love with somebody that you can't stand? Remember, I preached a sermon back a few years ago that was called, Do You Love Your Neighbor or Do You Just Like Them? Remember that? There's a difference between those two. So if we're struggling to love our neighbor, we can do acts of love. And when we do those acts of love, then our emotions will follow that. That's the way it should go. Love is proven by what we do. Is it not? Think about it for a minute. Isn't our love proven by what we do, the actions that we put forth? It's not based on how we feel at any given moment. Now, some of you before have kissed your wife goodbye and you were mad as fire and you were gritting your teeth and you, I love you. Back to my Andy Griffith. Remember, morning, dear. Morning, honey. Remember that? Yeah, Andy had something right on that. You know, you do the acts of service and then it will follow. And it didn't turn out biblical, so I'm not going to go on to the end of that story, but you get what I'm saying. When you do those acts of love, the emotion of love will follow. See, we must share the message of Jesus without compromising the truth. We must deliver this good news with love. And our actions and what we do prove that love. In Matthew 22, verse 39, Jesus explicitly commands us. It's not a suggestion. It's not one of his suggestions. It's a commandment that we love our neighbors. But there's a similar account over in Luke 10. See, I told you I was going to get to the scripture. There's a similar account over in Luke 10 that raises a very, very important question. Now, I'm going to go read that scripture in just a minute, but here's the question that it raises. Who is our neighbor? Now, y'all pretty much know where I'm going, don't you? Look with me in the Word, at Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And we're going to begin reading at verse 25. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You got that? You see the question we're talking about? And who is my neighbor? that Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35, now on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So, which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Pray with me if you would. Father, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I pray right now that it would pierce our heart and that you would speak to us, that you might move us closer to you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we looked at those particular passages, remember what the question was. The question that we asked here, but also the question that was asked Jesus, although it was said to test him, he was asked, who is my neighbor? Yeah, you tell me to love these people, but who are we to love? Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some really strange neighbors in my life. Now, I want to go ahead and say something right now. Not the ones I have now, so that if this gets back and they see that, they know I'm not talking about them. Every one of us has those people. You know, the one that's walking around with the yippity-dippity dog? The one that comes out, you know, every evening in their bathrobe and nothing else to get the paper? You know, the kid that lives down the street with the mufflers that you could hear from the moon and likes to rev the engine? We've all got people in our lives like that, don't we? You know, the guy who's always sitting back going, I tell you, hey man, you want a beer? No, thank you. And you know what? You know what happens? We give them affectionate names, don't we? Beer guy, bathrobe guy, yippy girl, loud kid. You know, we call them all these. You know why? Because we don't know who they are. Now, here is something that's very, very interesting. Jesus died for them too. They need to hear the gospel as well. You mean I'm supposed to go to yippity-dippity and try to have a spiritual conversation? Yes, over time. That's exactly what I mean. They need to know where you stand. Let me tell you what I have found out. I have found out, honestly, that the more you do that, the more you're going to find that there are people who have more in common with you than you think they do. When you host a Bible study or something, all of a sudden you realize that neighbor does go to church. Or when you find out, they have a story. Remember what I've told you? Everybody has a story, and you don't know what's going on. That mean, nasty neighbor that lives next to you, that's always shouting things at you, that's just rude, crude, and socially unacceptable, has maybe been through a time when he lost his son, and he lost his wife, and he's lost all these people in his life, and he's hurting right now. And see, the thing about it is, you don't know his story. Because you've never taken the time to understand why he may be in that situation. Understand my heart. I'm not saying that there's anything right about that, but I can tell you how many times have we sat down and talked with somebody, and when we heard their story, we walked away going, wow, I did not know that. That gives a little bit more context to their life. So bathrobe guy, yippy lady, loud kid and beer guy, all need Jesus. Have you ever baked a batch of cookies and taken them over to them? And hey, you know what time he goes out to the bathroom, out to the mailbox with his bathrobe to get mail? Did you ever take him some cookies over? Have you ever worked on just trying to build a little bit of a relationship? You know, we're all weird. I mean, we are. We've all got stories. Bathrobe guy needs Jesus. Beer guy needs Jesus. Your neighbors need Jesus. And yes, that includes the conundrum that takes place on the corner. That includes the loud car guy as he's driving past your house. And that includes the lady that won't speak to anybody when she's walking by with her yappy dog. It includes all of them. All our neighbors need to hear the message of Jesus, and they need to hear it from us. People who don't act like us or look like us or have the same interests that we do are exactly the people that God wants us to reach from 1715 Highway 68 North. That's scary, isn't it? Because you know what happens? We're like, how do we interact with this guy? Remember my story about Spider? That is a classic example of what we're talking about here. The Harley, it was a chopper too, man. It had the big wheel out in front of it. Came in with his leather vest, and literally, they called him Spider because he had the tarantula tattooed on his neck. By the way, he was a tattoo artist, so he was a walking advertisement. And you know what changed his life? Y'all remember, don't you? The little old lady in the church who greeted him at the door while everybody else was going, ooh, ooh, where's my gun? The little old lady that said, hello, my name is, and I won't say her name. What's your name? And he affectionately said, Spider. I was there. I thought, your mama must have hated you. And then she said, are you meeting somebody here? He said, nope. She said, would you sit with me? And I don't think he knew what to say. He was like, she goes, you got to sit somewhere. Why don't you sit with me? And she began to introduce him around to all her little old ladies, who all of a sudden began to love on Spider like he'd never been loved on before. His entourage was a bunch of little, you'd have thought a rock star rode up when he got off that bike. Little old ladies met him in the parking lot, walked him in, took care of him, and in short order, Spider gave his heart to Jesus because they were a part of his life. They didn't go, ooh, he's scary. That was the most unlikely thing I'd ever seen in my life. But it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life, too. They loved him, and he loved them. If anybody was there, he was rough around the edges. I remember hearing one of the ladies talking about having some trouble with something, and Spider's like, you want me to come over and take care of that person for you? She's like, no, honey. She said, I appreciate that. But we just gonna have to love on him. You see, they were teaching by example. Spider's with Jesus today. He didn't live long after that, but you know what I know? I know he's in heaven. Because a bunch of little old ladies greeted him at the door and became a part of his life. Who is your neighbor? Everybody is your neighbor. Each and every person. If we believe that God can save anyone, we should be willing to share the gospel with everyone. We also cannot specify when we will share. Yeah, it's very interesting that I've looked. Have you ever noticed that serving others is rarely convenient? It's pretty much always inconvenient, isn't it? If you're waiting on a time to serve somebody else that is convenient for your schedule, you will never serve anybody. Why? Because it will never be convenient. and it will be costly. Sharing God's truth and love comes with a level of risk. We could get hurt emotionally. In some places in the world, there's a chance that you could get hurt physically. But we mustn't forget that at one time, we were that person that was lying on the side of the road in our scripture text today. We're the ones that are on the side of the road at one point beaten and dying, and Jesus was the one who stopped by to save us. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He's the perfect neighbor. You know, it's interesting that when you look at that passage, those that passed him by are the ones that should have stopped. You know, what would happen was, yeah, what they were thinking is as they approached him and they saw what was going on, we do that look the other way thing. Kind of like when you're sitting there looking, you're like, what is it? And then you're like, we're trying to act like we didn't see it. And the priest said probably to himself, well, what's going to happen to me if I stop? That's not somebody that I'm not supposed to like them. The priest. The other one that followed, the same thing. Ooh, I can't stop and help them. We're not supposed to like them. So I'm just going to keep on moving. I don't have time. I got a place I got to be. I'm just going to leave him there. Somebody else will take care of it. I get so sick of hearing that because, you know, that's the mantra of today. If I don't do it, somebody else will. Are we being that way spiritually? And then a Samaritan comes by. A Samaritan is the one who should have had the customal right to just say, well, I'm going to leave him. And yet, that's not what happened. The one who should have been the enemy of the hurt man is the one who tended to him. You see, he asked the question the right way. Remember, the others were saying simply, what's going to happen if I stop and help this guy? This last guy asked this question. What's going to happen to me if I don't stop and help this guy? That one word changes it all around, doesn't it? What is it for me if I don't do what I should do? If I don't emulate the love that God has given me, if I don't step up? And folks, I have told you time after time after time that when you serve the Lord, it is going to cost you time. It is going to cost you effort. It is going to cost you money. It is costly to serve the Savior. But let me tell you something else I know. See, we don't always preach this side of it. I have never in my life wanted for anything, because any time that I have taken what I thought was a sacrifice and gave it to God, He has a way of giving it back tenfold. I've said it before, try to outgive Him. No, this is not a sermon on tithing, but if the shoe fits, wear it. God wants to bless you. I'm not just talking about giving them money. I'm talking about your time and your effort and your energy. And today, let me tell you what I don't like about what I see in church today, or what I call new church. It's a convenience. It's all about me. I'm going to come. I'm going to give you an hour. I'm going to walk out that door, and I'm not going to see you again until next week. Folks, that is not church. That is not the way it was designed in Acts, and that is not the way it should be. There should be discipleship. And discipleship is not planting flowers at the local elementary school. Discipleship is getting into the Word of God. It is leaning on each other. It is learning from one another as we learn from the Word of God. Plain and simple. What did he tell us? The Great Commission is to go and make what? Say it again. Make what? Say it louder. Disciples. Followers of Jesus. How can we do that if we stay inside the octagon here? You can't. That's the plain bottom line. So I ask this question, why do we exist? Why do we exist as a person? Why do we exist as a church? Well, let me tell you, because God's mission travels in one vehicle. One. God's mission travels in one vehicle, and that is the church. In one of David Platt's writings, he wrote, "We are the plan of God. There is no plan B." You know why he doesn't have a plan B? Because plan A doesn't fail. We are the plan of God. So what exactly defines us? In accordance to what we read in God's Word, what should define us is simply this: that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. That we love the ones that come into the church parking lot and do donuts and leave the black marks. That we love the neighbors that are moving in, regardless of anything else, regardless of nationality, regardless of anything else. The bottom line is, if there is a living, breathing human being, Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross for them, and if they are in your address, if they are in your sphere of influence, they are your project. Do you understand me? Your project. When God gives us kids on Sunday night, they're our project. When He gives you people in your Sunday school class, that's your project. When He gives you people into small groups, that's your project. But guess what? It's not essentially facility evangelism. We got to get out. We got to get to the people. How do we get to the people? You love them into the kingdom. If they can't stand you, they will never accept your invitation to come and be a part of a church. And by the way, I'm not asking you to ask them to be a part of the church. I'm asking you to ask them to be a part of the kingdom. There's a difference between those two. There are people that will come to a small group that meets at your house or in a restaurant before they will ever set foot in here. Let me tell you why. Because churches have hurt a lot of people. I will guarantee you that everybody sitting in here at some point, in some shape, form, or fashion along the way, you have been hurt by somebody or something. Something somebody said, something somebody did. Well, folks, we're a bunch of imperfect people. And you know what the bottom line is? It's not about us anyway. I've said that before when people say, oh, a bunch of hypocrites in that church. I'm like, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites up at Lowe's too, but you shop there. Bunch of hypocrites in your workplace, but you still go to work. Bunch of hypocrites out on the highway, but you still use the roadways. Let me kind of make it clear to you how far away we've gotten spiritually. The weatherman tells you it's going to snow. You cannot find a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk in the store. The preacher tells you Jesus is coming and you sit around. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. You're being warned of the greatest thing that can happen. And yet, we often sit motionless. But Lord, you let a snowflake fall. You won't get, if you don't get to the grocery, you'll run people over to get that bread, milk, and eggs. I've said before, how are you enjoying your milk sandwiches? I haven't quite figured that out yet. But that's what we do. We run and scurry and hurry. Listen, I am telling you today, Jesus is coming, and you better get ready. It could be in the next moment. You've not promised your next breath. We know this. The trumpet could sound. He could call us out. Are you prepared? Have you got your milk and your bread and your eggs spiritually? Well, listen, if not, you better run to the grocery store, the spiritual grocery store today, and get it squared away. Who is our neighbor? Everybody. It's the people over there. It's the people in these houses over here. It's Meadows Road. It's all these subdivisions. And you know what we sit back and say? Well, I'm not used to that. I'm a farm boy, but boy, now this place has become, you know what? They're people just like you and me. And if you love them, love will conquer all. People will disappoint you. People you never thought would disappoint you will disappoint you. But are you putting your stock in the person, or are you putting your stock in the Savior? If you expect to be disappointed by people, then it's just when it happens, you're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'm disappointed. But God will never let you down. People will always let you down. Be careful what you put on a pedestal and who you put on a pedestal. Because nobody except Christ deserves to be on that pedestal, plain and simple. I really am excited about the future. Because you know what I believe? Listen, we got to get outside of the walls. We have to start doing things that are going to be uncomfortable for us. We need the spiders of this world to walk through the door. And don't you dare gasp when they do. I need a few little old ladies that'll embrace the spiders that walk in the doors. That's what we need. Who aren't scared. Introduce them to your circle of friends. You know what? Spider could have said, I don't want to do that. But you know what? It meant so much to him because nobody had ever loved him before in his life like those ladies did. And when he left this planet, he left this earth going to the arms of Jesus, knowing that there were people that genuinely loved him. You know who sat on the front row at Spider's funeral? He didn't have any family. Or did he? Those little old ladies were his family. And it broke their heart when he went. They cried together. But you know what the lead little old lady said? As the tears rolled down her face, she said, but you know what? I'm going to see him again. Because I know he's going to be in the kingdom. And when my time comes, Spider and his leather vest are going to greet me when I cross into the kingdom. That was genuine. Are we going to connect, first of all, better with God? Are we going to connect better with each other? That's our mantra for this year, 2024. Connect spiritually. Get some barbs in there. Connect with each other. Love one another. Listen, you're going to irritate each other. I promise you that. Even church members, you're going to tick each other off. But is that really what it's about? If that's all Satan's got to do to bring you down and to rob you of your joy, oh, he'll do that easy. I'm going to irritate you guys. I'm going to tick you guys off. But guess what? You're going to irritate me and tick me off too. But I'm still going to love you no matter what. We're going to do this thing together. And you see what happens is people want to become a part of that because they want to be where they're loved. And then what happens is I'm going to use this word that I never thought I would use. Being able to share the gospel with them becomes organic. It just happens. It just happens. And then you're not having to beg them to come. They can't wait to be there because we've loved them like we should. We love them like the Samaritan. Was it costly? Did it cost the Samaritan time? This is yes and this is no. Did it cost the Samaritan some time? Did it cost the Samaritan some effort? Did it cost the Samaritan some money? And yet here we are thousands of years later still reading about it. Was it significant? Yes, it was. It's a great lesson for each and every one of us. I believe the neighborhood church is coming back. Well, we're going to have to reach the neighborhood. I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily have the same sort of bank account that most of my neighbors have up here. But that's okay. That's not what it's about. We got to reach them. How do you do that? People said that before. How do we do this? Well, get out there and love them. To start, you got to get out there. Wow, man, think about it. The pandemic said don't get near anybody. Everything counterintuitive to what Jesus tells us. Get in there and build those relationships, and I will make you a promise. It will matter. I've seen it. The word tells us. What is it that we're going to do? How are you? Have a little checkup. How are you connecting spiritually with God? How are you connecting with each other? How are you connecting in an area or a way of service through your church? Again, it's not just about building the church. It's about building the kingdom. Or are you just going to sit back and be a spec? I promise you, God is not happy with spectators. Love is a verb. You ever heard that? That was actually a song. Love is a verb. You know what a verb is? It's an action word. How many of y'all watched that on Schoolhouse Rock like I did growing up? Hey, there's my people. Verb, that's what's happening. I like to do my thing in action. Verb. Hey, love is a verb. Is our love bringing forth action? Brad, you guys come on up. We're about ready to have our invitation. Him again, not my invitation, but his. I want to ask you today, what has the Spirit spoken to your heart in reference to the circumstance, the situation, in reference to the Scripture? What has He said to you? Listen, there's a lot of things that we covered today. We could have broken that out into so many different things. How are your connection? How's your connection with God? How's your connection with other people? How's your connection with your neighbors? We live in a world we don't even know our neighbors anymore. We got young people that'll text each other sitting 3 feet away from each other. That drives me nuts. Well, hey, listen, if that's you, find a way to use that texting as a ministry. Get you a ministry group out there and text them. Do your thing for Jesus, whatever it is. What's He said to you today? Are your connections right? Again, there's no accident we're right here. God brought us here for such a time as this, and you're it. I mean, look around this room. You are it. God has called you here to reach this community. Some of you are going, It's you. When people look at you, first of all, what do they think about Jesus? Do they see Jesus in you, or do they see somebody who's running people down? When people look at you, what do they think about your church? Do they see a place they want to be a part of, or by your actions and verbiage, do they see a place they don't want to have anything to do with? See, you don't come to church for other people. You come to church for Him. We're all screwed up. I've said that before. I like the passage that says, hey, look, before you start trying to clean up somebody else's backyard, check your own, because you'll have your hands full trying to clean your own up. Amen? So what do? You connect and you reach out. That's it. It's not a method. There's no classes for that. It's a strategy. And a strategy works anywhere. People sit back and say, what do I need to do, preacher? Okay, you ready? Go love on some people. That's how you start. Go love on some people and go build some relationships. And I will promise you. Oh, by the way, when you go love on somebody and build that relationship, you better be reflecting Jesus in your life. Otherwise, what you're going to do is more damage to the cause of Christ. You know, if you're out doing things you shouldn't be doing during the week and you're just a Sunday Christian, I'd rather you not tell anybody. Because what you're doing is you're making, that's where people get that thing. Well, church is full of hypocrites. Because they know the real you. How are you representing full time? There's people in this church that I love when people talk about you. That they find out that you come here. And they'll say to me things like, man, I'm going to tell you one thing. That person is one of the best people I've ever seen in my life. That is one of the nicest. That is one of the most spiritual people. I'll tell you one thing. That person right there made me feel like the king or the queen of this world. And I don't sit back and go, yeah, that's right. Because it's not because of me. It's because you're living what you believe. Now, first of all, let me ask you this. Have you trusted Him? Or have you checked off a box? You know, do you have a personal relationship? I like to ask it that way. Because salvation is not just a thing you do. It's a person you know. Have you ever trusted Him? Have you ever said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm asking You to come into my life and save my soul. Have you ever done that? Listen, if not, whether you're online, whether you're here, I'm just simply going to ask you to stop whatever you're doing. If the Lord is prompting your heart, stop what you're doing right now, because I said you're not promised your next breath. And just simply say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need You as my Savior. Forgive me and save me. In Jesus' name, amen. And I will promise that if you met that prayer with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, then there's rejoicing of the saints in heaven right now. But that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. He wants us to follow Him. We should have the desire to do that. That's where the discipleship comes in. Get plugged in to your church. Get plugged into a Sunday school class or a small group. Get plugged in. What are we talking about this year? We're to connect. Time to connect. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you're like, well, there ain't nothing here for me. Well, what do you do? Maybe that's what you need to bring here. Maybe you're here today and you said, you know what? I've just been sitting around too long. I've been harboring bitterness. I've been mad. The joy's gone out of my spiritual life and everything. I've just been existing spiritually. It's time for you to give that back to the Lord. Be delivered. And say, Lord, it's not about all the peripheral stuff here. It's about you. You're going to take care of all the peripherals. Help me focus on you and relive the joy that comes only through Christ. Maybe you need this altar here. Maybe you just need to give those things to him. Whatever you need to do, if you need me, I am here. The altar is here. We still believe in an old-fashioned altar call. But would you join me as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 277, Take My Life, as Brad comes and leads us. You do business with God. Heads are bowed, your eyes are closed as you continue to seek the Lord in your life. Don't let this moment be the one that passes you by. You react with what the Holy Spirit has put in your heart today, whether it's where you are, whether it's at this altar, whether it's with me, whatever it may be. I simply ask you right now to deal with what the Holy Spirit has placed in your life today. Because if you came seeking something, then you have found it. What is it that it's going to be in your life? I pray right now that you will make it right with him. As Vicky continues to play, I'm going to ask that our ushers would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for the provision that you provide and that you give each and every one of us. Lord, I pray right now that you will help us to be faithful as we return the tithe and offering to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Vicki. Let me just give you a couple things, then we'll get you on out of here. Birthdays this week. All the birthdays we have this week fall on Tuesday, and that includes our very own Dave Smith. Say a prayer for him. He's still a little under the weather, as well as our very own Ken Allred, who's probably here somewhere. He's moving around. Ken. So Dave, Ken, and then myself. I have a birthday this coming Wednesday, and there's always one rose among the thorns. Sylvia Pegg will be celebrating a birthday also on Tuesday. Today. Yo, yours is today. Okay. Well, Tuesday, today, you know, it's today. Sylvia's is today. So harass her, give her a hard time. And by the way, all of us, that's Dave, Ken, myself, and Sylvia, we take cash. We'll take gifts, particularly cake, whatever. We're not shy. We'll take it all. Be sure to hug Miss Sylvia. We love her to death. Really appreciate all that that she does around here, as well as those that are celebrating birthdays this week. Just a couple reminders of things that are going on today. My discipleship group meets at 3:30 in the conference room next door. 4:45 choir rehearsal, back to the regular time. Awana is at 5:30 in the multipurpose building. Sunday Bible study right in here, 6 o'clock with Pastor David. And then band rehearsal at 7. So you guys, no band rehearsal today? Okay. No band rehearsal today. All them band people are going, No band rehearsal today. So we'll let you know when that comes back up. This week, Steve Kelly's D-Life group meets at 6:30 on Monday evenings. Don't forget that if you're a part of it. Wednesday, every Wednesday at 10 a.m., there's a men's breakfast fellowship at the Olympic in Colfax. Come by and join them. Again, that's one of those things that's designed to build relationships. That is a great way to reach out to somebody you may know. Take them to the breakfast fellowship. I promise those guys will love on them, and they'll think you're so crazy they'll want to be a part of it again. So use that as a ministry, guys. 10 a.m. every Wednesday at the Olympic in Colfax. In January, don't forget, we do have a bookshelf out there in the narthex. Dina is kind of cycling some books through. They will be out there the rest of this week, close to the rest of this half of this week. They're going to be here today. If you want to get something, come by today and get it, because this is the last Sunday, then Dina will be moving those on somewhere. And by the way, I might be able to take those to the associational office to be used for other libraries. So those are some things that you can take. They're things that Dina is cycling through. Take a look at them in the narthex as you leave, and feel free to take them with you. The 2023 contribution statements, or statements of giving as we know about them, are actually in the Lottie Moon mailbox right out there. So go through. If you have made contributions to the church in 2023, your statement of giving will be there for income tax purposes. You can pick those up. Please pick those up if you could. You will save us the postage, because we have got to mail them in the next couple of days if you don't pick them up. So that'll really help us out. Saturday, February the 10th, will be a ladies' prayer breakfast from 8:30 to 10:30. Going to meet over in the Family Life Center for breakfast at 8:30, and then they're going to be coming over to the sanctuary for a time of very specific prayer about different things. That's that connection part we were talking about. They're going to go to the sanctuary and just have a prayer meeting, a real prayer meeting. Going to actually pray. That's going to be great. So if you need some more information about that, you can contact Mari Kelly. Mari will let you know more about that. Also, our Cuba mission trip is March the 1st through the 8th. It's actually the 29th. I had to stop and think for a minute, because it's leap year. There are 29 days in February this year. We are actually, because of flight schedules, having to leave the night before and going to have to overnight in Miami like we used to have to do. But that's because of flight scheduling. Once again, you support so many things. Through the month of February, we will be taking our missions offering that will fund the ministries that are done in Cuba. Notice what I said, the ministries that are done in Cuba. We have all of our missionaries that are going have raised their support, so that's all paid for. Any of the money that is given through Central Baptist Church takes care of keeping the Awana missionary paid and in place over there. It supports the growth of Awana clubs. It has done mission projects, our retirement center. You have done so many things that have they last all year round, and it's a pretty aggressive budget. We'll be letting you know more about that. We will start taking that offering. If you want to contribute to that, you just list it, put it on an envelope, and put Cuba Missions. We're probably going to need somewhere, probably in excess of $10,000 to be able to continue to fund the ministries that we're funding. And you guys have always stepped up. It's always been there, exactly what we've needed. So for that, I want to thank you. I appreciate all that that has taken place, all that's going on. I'm sure there's probably some things I've forgotten, but I'm sure Pastor David can let you know as he comes to dismiss us in prayer. Yes. Carson's is Wednesday. Okay. We'll make sure we get that on the list. I was just testing y'all. Carson. I did that last year too, didn't I? Carson. Like that. He got mad. That's why he ran. He left. I'm kidding. But y'all know Carson. Fred and Angel's son. So be sure when you see him, great, great young man, be sure to give him a big old hug. I think that'd make his day. He takes cash too. So at any rate, don't forget, as you'll see up here, we have a lot of things that are going on in our church these days. Please, please, please contact the church office if you're planning on doing any sort of an event. Because there's a lot of things that are taking place. You know, you might sit back and say, oh, well, we'll come by and just, you know, use the gym or something. The gym might already be being used. So please contact the church office and say, hey, we'd like to use a room. We'd like to use this so we can double check that and so that people won't be disappointed. Please do that. Whether you're having a party, a shower, or whatever, just let us know because there's just a lot of things that are taking place even now. People are sitting back going, well, I'd like to use this. And we're like, eh, somebody's already got it reserved. So please help us with that. I'm going to keep that before you so that you will remember to do that so that we can make sure that nobody shows up disappointed. Love you guys. I'm not going to be able to be at the door today. I've got an appointment that I've got to keep, but I will look forward to seeing you guys this evening. Pastor David.
Visa, MasterCard. Just regular old cards. If you want to send him a card, I'm sure he would appreciate that. Also, I want to say a word about, you know, we've had to cancel band several weeks. Part of that has because Jim Crowder, our band director, his wife has got some serious health problems that they cannot get through to the right physicians to get it dealt with and everything. And so it's requiring a lot of time from him. Put them on your prayer list, please. Jim does a great job adding to the worship atmosphere of our church with the band that he does. And Terry is a great supporter of hers. They also work in Awana in another church. They just need some relief. So we need to pray that God will reach out and touch them and help them find the right help to find out what's going on with Terry. Let me lead you as we pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house, serving you. God, I want to just pray for Jim and Terry right now. Lord, I pray that you will help someone in the medical field to help them expedite the process of diagnosis and prescribing the right cure for her. Lord, we know you're the great physician, and so we ask you to do what no one else can do. Just reach out and touch her and heal her. Lord, bless that family and minister to them. Lord, help us to get involved with ministry and serving you. Even as we go from this place today, help us to be a witness for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.